What is up, witches? This is Blackbird from Hexrated, and we have another exciting episode all about goth rocks. Today, we are talking about obsidian versus black tourmaline, and I learned so much from this. I think you're really going to love it. Thank you, as always, for listening.
A spell on you. Oh. 'Cause you're mine. Du-du-ba-ba-ba. You gotta stop the things you do.
Oh. Well, hey.
Well, hello.
What's new with you?
What's new with you, stranger?
I mean, not a lot, stranger. Just, you know, chilling, as the kids would say, vibing. I don't know. It sounds so weird coming out of my mouth, vibing. Ugh. I don't know. There's a lot of phrases these days that I'm just like, what? I don't know. I gotta stay hip with the lingo, though. I mean, that's not hip at all, what I just said. I don't know. That's not hip with the lingo is definitely not a phrase, but I feel like, you know, sometimes I'll be watching, especially, you know, since we've been watching so much hockey, I have been, mm-hmm. you know, like totally bombarded by commercials for the first time in a long, long time. Because we stream so much, like we don't have regular cable. We don't watch regular TV with commercials and shit.
Right.
So like, but there's like people in commercials that I clearly cannot recognize because they are young. I'm like, fuck. Now I don't know anybody anymore.
I know. I'm like, am I supposed to know who this person is?
Yeah. Okay. So maybe, hopefully, maybe it's not just me, because you're like, you're definitely my junior. And so if you don't know who somebody is, maybe it's not just me. Maybe they're just...
What? The new Verizon commercials, they're so bad.
Oh, they're so bad. You know,
wait. With all the ex, like, SNL people.
That one's bad. And let's talk about the shitty Pepsi Zero campaign. Okay.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
I don't understand. Like, if you're going to stand in front of me, Steve Martin, who I love, if you're going to stand in front of me and go, it's really good, or am I acting? Where is my motivation for buying this fucking Pepsi Zero? Zero. Nowhere.
You're daring me to find out if it's gross or not?
Right.
That's the whole, it's basically, they've got different people that get in there and they're like, they take a sip of the Pepsi and they're like, ooh, that's great.
Ben
Stiller. Or am I just acting?
Yeah.
And his is terrible because his acting is horrible.
He's not that great. Right. But it's like, but that's such a bad campaign. It's like, okay, if you are acting,
to try it.
Why do I? Yeah, no.
It might be gross.
I'm not. What a shitty commercial. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Ads these days.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. I blocked it out of my mind, but every time I see it, and the Ben Stiller one really annoys me because his like, oh, that's really good. Or was I just acting? I was like, fuck. No, you were acting very poorly. That was not convincing.
Like, I can't tell at all if it's good. It sounds like it's terrible.
It
Goodbye.
Sounds like faking, yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
Also, Pepsi is disgusting.
I know. Well, you think that, but that's okay. I like Pepsi. Listen, I lived in Texas for so long that Diet Coke is the only way to go. So I can't, like, I think if I tried to buy Diet Pepsi, it would probably just like explode in my hand or something. You're real quick. Your Dallas Stars are doing awesome, and I am so proud. Sorry about the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah,
it was.
Well, don't jinx us, because this is going to come out after.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. No jinxing.
So, yeah.
Well, here.
So, if this comes out in a week, then.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, I may have to remove all that part. That's fine. Well, we can talk about the Devils because they are over. And
they're definitely out.
It was sad. But I will say, as much as we were sad, like, I hate to say, they were just. I'm not calling them the Canes, but the. Ugh. I hate that. Like, you don't say a cane is coming. I mean, do you? No, you do not. It's a hurricane, motherfucker. Say the whole word.
Dude,
anyway,
FYI, their logo looks like a puck going down the toilet.
Well, either way, they were the better team, hate to say. They definitely took us to the woodshed. So, or the ice house, I don't know, whatever you want to say. Anyway, it was sad. And that is Hockey Talk. We, oh shit, this is Hex Rated, which is not Hockey Talk. You are.
I'm Scarlett.
And I am Blackbird. And we are here to talk about witchcraft. But right now, we're talking about goth rocks.
Goth rocks.
Gothrocks.com. We could totally make that. Oh, make sure it doesn't exist already.
I don't know. Now I got to Google it right now. Hold on.
Do it right now. Google. Gothrocks.com. Coming at you.
Dude, it's available.
It's available.
Hold on. I just misspelled it.
It won't be after this episode. Somebody's going to get on that shit and be like, Goth Rocks, we're going to sell all your black stones just for you. Here are the properties.
Nope. Yeah, it's available.
It's available? All right. Yeah. Somebody get on that and we will Gothrocks.com and we will patronize your business. Just make sure you have the real shit. But we are going to talk about two other Goth Rocks today. And yes, they are
Obsidian
and Black Tourmaline, which goes by lots of different things, but Black Tourmaline is what it is known as. But we are going to dive into Obsidian, and it is the one rock I own. So
it's probably one of my very favorites. I did mention it a few times because it's kind of unique among these four that we're discussing. Last time we talked about Onyx and Jet. And Obsidian has a lot in common with both of these, but the main feature of it that differentiates it is that it is not actually a crystal, it is a volcanic glass.
Hell yeah.
It comes from volcanoes.
Awesome.
I love volcanoes.
Yes.
So the etymology is super boring. Pliny said that this dude named Obsidius, which, by the way, is a fucking baller name.
It is, dude.
If you want to...
Name your child that. Oh my God.
I know. Obsidius sounds like Severus Snape's really hot older brother or something.
Oh my God, right? Oh.
So Obsidius discovered it in Ethiopia or something. Really boring name.
And he just named it after himself, like a true scholar.
Yeah. But I did find one really great translation where in Icelandic it's called Hrafntinna. From Hrafn, which is a raven, and Tinna, which means flint. So it's Raven Flint.
That's rad.
Isn't that so cool?
Hrafn Tinna. Oh, I like that.
Hrafn.
Okay, that's rad.
I'm not pronouncing it Icelandically, but anyway.
It's okay.
But as I said, it is a glass. So it is black, sometimes brown or gray. It's got a glossy luster. So... you know, compared to some of these other stones, it is very, very shiny like glass, and is very like smooth to the touch. And it's pretty medium on the Mohs scale, but it's in terms of its hardness, like trying to scratch the surface, but it's brittle. And that will come into play in a little bit when we talk about the history of it. But basically it's a silicate. It's silicon dioxide, SiO2, which is the same material as quartz and agate and jasper and things like that. But the difference is that, as I said, it's not a crystal, it's a glass. So if you looked at it under a microscope, it's just like these molecules that are all spread out, and they're not in a structure like a glass or like a crystal.
Right.
So, and it's found wherever you have volcanoes.
So basically everywhere.
When the lava flows out and hits the water or cool air, it will basically turn into this sheet of black glass, which is the most fucking metal thing I've ever heard of.
So cool.
So hardcore. Yeah. Love it.
Yep.
There's also some other forms and names. So Apache tears, which as I'm reading that, I'm like, is that appropriate to say anymore?
Probably not.
I feel like not, but those are like basically little pebbles of obsidian, and it has to do with the way that it cools and forms. And then snowflake obsidian is a different variety that has little gray inclusions, these little blooms that do in fact look like fluffy little snowflakes. Mm-hmm. And mahogany has little bands of like kind of this dark, rich sort of molasses kind of mahogany color. Ooh. And then there's also a rainbow, because even though it's black, if you hold it up to the light, it's semi-translucent. So sometimes when you get these inclusions, it can give it sort of this almost metallic or like kind of a tiger eye sort of luster to it. And can be polished to have like a star in them, like a star sapphire or like a cat eye or something.
Ooh,
and they're very beautiful.
Rad. Oh, neat.
So there's lots of lores and myth attributed to it. Which I'll come back to, because I wanted to talk a lot about the use of it.
Yes.
So last week we talked about the oldest jet carving to be discovered was 10,000 years old. Well, guess what?
Any Your shit is jet, older. Oh, my God.
Because the oldest stone tools made of obsidian are dated to 700,000 BC.
What?
That means Homo sapiens didn't make it. You Our ancestors made
blew my
it.
Mind.
It's so old.
Holy fuck. That's old.
And that is one of the things that is so magical and fascinating to me about this material, is that this goes back to before our species was its own thing.
Right.
700,000 years.
Yeah.
That's so long.
Yeah.
Like, so long.
So long.
So this is a material that's been prized and coveted and handled and worked and passed down to generations for forever.
Yeah.
So just the idea of it being like a cultural memory, like it predates our species.
Yeah.
That's bonkers. Right. I can't get over it. I don't know how to overstate it enough.
Well,
how crazy that
not,
is.
Not just that it predates, because I mean, lots of things predate our species in existing, but predating and being used, that's the thing. Like in use, predating our species is fucking crazy and amazing. Right.
And I don't want to get too into prehistory, because I could seriously do like a whole separate podcast about it. But one of the things that's interesting to me is, so because it is brittle and it's a glass, the way you can shape it is, it's called napping. So it's basically you take like a big piece of it and you strike it in a deceptively difficult way. And it will flake off. And these flakes are super fucking sharp. And that's how our ancient forebears made tools. So arrowheads, knives, scrapers for processing leather, just any kind of cutting surface you would need of any size or shape. And to me, it's very interesting, because the act of working something that is napped is really, really interesting. It's different than sculpting something out of clay, where you're smushing and mushing and molding it from like kind of the center out, or carving something where you're taking something that's solid and you're like digging into it and like very carefully cutting out the exact size and shape. There's a weird skill to it, and there's a certain amount of serendipity of when you crack the core piece. So you have a core that is like a big chunk of it, and then as you hit it against your napping stone, it flakes off. And so not only
are you
hitting
it in
a
way, like, are you hitting it in a way that you're designing, basically?
Yes.
Or okay,
so basically what you're doing is, if you had a big chunk and you were gonna try to make like a big spearhead, you know, something that's maybe like 8 or 9 inches long or something,
all right.
So you're napping it. So you're striking it around the edges to get it kind of more flat, and then to shape it so that it's kind of got a wider base and then comes to a point. And just the idea of that as an art form, it speaks so deeply to what pre-humans were capable of as artists or as symbolic thinkers. Because, like I said, the edges are very sharp, but to make a symmetrical arrowhead or spearhead, that's an aesthetic choice.
Yeah,
it doesn't
sure.
have to be symmetrical.
Right.
And we're not just talking about bilaterally symmetrical, but it's symmetrical like on both sides, because you want to have it like nice and flat or whatever. So just the fact that, like, I would consider, so, and this is hotly debated for past many thousands of years of what is art, but I would argue something that has a purely aesthetic dimension that has that is, doesn't have anything to do with its utility makes it art.
Right.
So making a an arrowhead that is purposely symmetrical and everything, and that takes this skill, takes a lot of trial and error to learn how to do this technique properly, that you know, you kind of are shaping it as you go. Like if something flakes off more than you expected, you kind of have to correct on the other side and everything. But for it to be symmetrical, to me, that's like an aesthetic choice.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just super fascinating to me that it's been worked by human or pre-human hands for so long.
Well, now I kind of want to watch the process. I mean, I really want to see.
It's super fascinating.
Like, do you have a little tool that does the chipping and then
you hit it
with
just
another
like a rock?
Tool?
Right. Yeah. So you would have like a chunk of obsidian or whatever.
Sorry, I'm like really interested in the process.
Slate or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you would hold it kind of flat and then you strike it with this napping tool and it basically causes thin little slivers to flake off.
Yeah,
like if you think of like slate or other types of materials that like flake off like that,
right?
So you strike it and then those little flakes that are flying off, you can also reshape those to make smaller like little arrowheads or smaller points.
Yeah.
So you're actually the scraps of making this bigger piece can then also be used,
sure,
which to me is also very fascinating and philosophical and everything.
Ugh,
so yeah, so anyway, but just some interesting uses of it. In Mesoamerica, it was very sacred in rituals and in ornament. It with the Maya and Aztecs, the Maya had this fucking gnar type of sword.
Awesome.
That was, it's not really a sword. They're just meaning that it's like sort of a bladed weapon, but it was basically like a club, like a baseball bat. And then on the fat, like baseball bat end, they would put these like little, like rows of obsidian blades. So basically like razor blades.
Ooh, holy
of obsidian
shit.
All around the edge of it.
Ow.
So you get hit with a baseball bat that is covered in like little like super
shards
sharp
of glass.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking gnar.
You will die.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. It's inflicted terrible injuries.
Makua Huita. I'm totally not pronouncing that correctly, but and they also had a pole arm version, so one that was like longer.
So you could go get away from further and still fuck somebody up. That's amazing.
But it was also used as a mirror, and people would use them for like conventional mirrors, but also as like scrying objects.
That's it.
So black mirror.
Yep.
And I can attest to using obsidian to gaze in as like sort of a medium to like see visions and stuff. And it's fucking rad and it feels super magical and cool.
Yep.
John Dee, the famous occultist to Queen Elizabeth, famously had a obsidian scrying mirror.
Mm.
So all of these things are part of the lore. And then, as we said last week, black stones tend to be associated with protection and grounding. So obsidian is the same, protection, uncrossing, unhexing, shadow work, grounding, secrets and stuff. But I think also the idea of it being used for cutting is very evocative of how you could use it spiritually. Like this idea of like cutting things away, or like slicing through the darkness to get to the light, or
cutting
like
out
shedding,
unnecessary.
Yeah. Cord cutting, like cutting people out of your life, cutting things out of your life, or cutting open, you know, old wounds to help them drain and heal and things like that.
Right.
So this idea of it being a very active, because to me, onyx, for example, I talked about how it felt like kind of like thick mud or like a cave, and it's like a very gentle sort of slow patient kind of vibe. And it's this is more like a good offense is a good defense, you know. Yeah. It does have that grounding, like if you hold on to it, it but it's more invigorating.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very grounding. Like you'll feel very like clear in your head. And if you're feeling like woozy or lightheaded or not very grounded, but it also has this kind of active element to it. The other thing is it just feels fucking great to handle.
Yes.
I was noticing that as I was like fondling this little arrow.
I'm holding it right now. I know.
Yeah, like, I can't. I just can't. But the thing is, it's your hands just sort of naturally seem to want to find these little nap
ridges.
Marks.
Yeah.
Because the one I have is like an arrow. It's a little arrowhead. It's like probably like an inch and a half long or something. But there's a little divot on the back that is just perfectly my thumb tip's size. And when you're holding something that's made of obsidian that's been napped like that,
mm-hmm.
it your fingers just naturally find these little grooves. Like, it's so tactilely satisfying.
I am literally holding a piece right now, and there is a, like, it's like just a chunk, right? Like about a, I don't know, 1x1 chunk, and there is a little place that fits my thumb exactly. So it's like, I know it doesn't, like, somebody doesn't say I'm gonna break off this chunk so it fits somebody's thumb. It just does it. Like, it's just inherent in the way it naps. It's so rad.
Oh my god. And but yeah, it just feels great.
Like, oh my god,
just can't stop like stroking
nope.
it. It's weird.
I've been touching it this whole time.
But if you were a sensory person, like a tactile person, this is the stone for you, because it's just so glossy and black and shiny, mm-hmm. and it feels so smooth and good.
It does.
So love it. So I'm a big fan of all of that. But and then also in terms of so-called health benefits, again, disclaimer, like, actual doctor medicine is
the best.
Is good.
Medicine.
Don't replace it with crystals, but
please do
you
not.
Know, you can do both.
Right.
For detox, tension, hardened arteries, shock, pain, staunching bleeding.
Oh.
And I had a prostate issues, so I don't really, some of these seem kind of random to me. Shock or pain or staunching bleeding is interesting to me. Those all kind of connect, and especially this idea of sort of cutting away or like,
well, I was gonna say staunches bleeding but causes bleeding, which is awesome. Like, that's neat.
Well, and that's some of the really cool practical usage. I was reading on the Wikipedia obsidian, because it's been used as a blade for 700,000 years.
So you said.
But they've actually, like, what's old is new again, and people have been researching its use as a surgical tool,
which
is not approved by the FDA. But the thing is, they're actually really great surgery tools, obviously, because they're brittle. It's better for soft tissues and things, like, you're not going to saw through bone or anything with these. But if you look at them under a microscope, a obsidian blade is perfectly smooth up to like nanometers.
Whoa.
Whereas even the sharpest surgical steel blade, when you look at it under a microscope, is jagged.
Wow.
It's just the nature of how the crystals line up that you can't get these molecules to just be even at the ends on a microscopic level.
That
so and you can
cool.
imagine that if you Whoa. Make a really, 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 really precise, super, like, down to the millimeter smooth cut, it's gonna heal better, right? Obviously,
right.
Like, instead of you're just like sawing around in there. So as I said, this is like an experimental use, and it's not approved. So you can't just like go to an ER and see a doctor using one of these. But to me, it's fascinating. I would also reckon that there are inflammation benefits, because I know that some people have a sensitivity to metals, even things like surgical grade steel.
Right.
And that's why some people prefer like to do threading or something instead of using tweezers, just because, you know, just that tiny little pinprick of steel tweezers causes more irritation for some people.
Yeah.
So you would think that that would also be of enormous benefit in a medical setting. So I just think that's fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
That this like some of the oldest technology,
yeah,
of any species
is now
on Earth is still totally superior to modern,
right?
You know, this is crazy. I mean, yeah. Not that I think that just because things are old, they're good. There are plenty of old things that suck. So
that we're not good.
Definitely, yes. That's definitely not where I'm going with
child
that,
labor.
Like,
not good.
Yeah.
But hey, let's bring it back. What's
slavery?
Up?
Not great. Yeah. Hate it.
Hey, very bad.
Treating everything with mercury. Not good.
Not good. No.
Yeah. So just because something's old doesn't make it good. But in this case, obsidian is good.
Yes.
It's been good for a long time and it continues to amaze me.
Obsidian.
So, and
good for a long time.
Yeah, it's been good for a real long time. And the other thing that's interesting about it to me is, you know, it's produced by volcanoes. So it does have this like deep within the earth, like, you know, vibe, but then yeah. also this like fiery, explosive, like aggressive element to it that some of these other black stones don't have. And the other thing that I think is interesting about it is because, you know, like, for example, Jet formed millions of years ago. And yes. it's like a multi-year, million-year process of like smooshing and
so much
pressure
smooshing. Yes.
And things like that. Whereas obsidian's being created all the time.
Yeah.
Like just there's fresh the obsidian in the world.
Fresh
like,
obsidian.
All the time.
Near
which,
you.
Which is also really interesting to me. And I contrast that with like onyx, for example, because onyx to me, like, onyx that's formed millions of years ago and has just been like hanging out in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, man.
It's just been vibing that whole time, you know, whereas like obsidian has this like fresh kind of urgency to it. It feels like a younger spirit.
Well, it feels to me, it's very active. And I think you've already used that word, but it's very like it's dynamic where I feel like something like Jet or onyx, like it's like you said, more stagnant, more like stuck or underneath something maybe, whereas obsidian feels like it's like just all over the fucking place.
Well, right. I mean, it was like literally on the move. It was like liquid and moving miles. Like,
amazing.
Forget how fast some lava flows can go, but it's like they haul ass.
Yeah,
like they can go pretty fast.
Can go fast.
So compared to all the other things we're talking about that like have been slowly forming over millions of years or have been like smooshed under the ocean for millions of years, like
right,
just sitting in the same spot until somebody dug it up and did something with it. Like obsidian was like you can find pieces of obsidian that were like literally on the move, moving around.
Yeah,
like.
So rad.
Recently. So it does have that. I mean, compared to if you want to anthropomorphize it, you know, like this is a spirit that like came from deep in the earth up
and
violently.
Came out. Yep. Yeah.
And then it was like hauling ass down a mountain. Like it's just so unique. And like, I feel like if you are at all sensitive to those kind of energies, you can sense it. And even if you're not, or you don't believe in that, like the symbolism behind it to me is very, very evocative.
Yes.
This idea of like an active volcano. And I think that that's why it figures prominently in a lot of mythology. Like I said, I think of the Mayans in particular that use a lot of obsidian and you know, that's representing sort of their underworld and their gods and the process of sacrifice and death and warfare and things, but even something like Game of Thrones, which is a totally modern fantasy setting.
Yeah.
Obsidian, AKA dragon glass,
man,
which is a great term for it.
Yep.
Is a big part of the lore as being one of the only things that can kill, the White Walkers. The
dreaded White Walkers, man.
Oh, yeah. Man. And the idea of it being tied to these kind of primordial forces that ebb and flow and being associated with dragons and having some sort of supernatural power to it, is totally based in real world myths of it being associated with volcanoes. You know, it's obviously such an explosive and fascinating, and you know, we talked at length about volcanoes with Iceland and
we did,
and obviously, like, in, you know, god, what was that, documentary with the two French filmmakers.
Fire of Love, maybe. Yes. I think I'm close.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So good.
But I mean, I think that it's just such a fascinating phenomenon that will never stop being awesome to humans.
Yeah.
And I use that in the most traditional sense of the word awesome, of like inspiring awe, where you're just like, I can't believe that this the earth does existing. This. It's crazy.
Right. No, well, like you, I've used it for scrying, and I have, I've lived here for 6 months and I haven't done it, but I always bury it in the four corners of my lot. Maybe because, like, you know, sometimes I think maybe onyx would serve that purpose a little bit better, but I usually like have obsidian because, like you said, it's kind of, you can get it everywhere. So I use obsidian for that, but I kind of like it now thinking about as a cutting, like, okay, get the fuck out of here. Not just like, not just kind of patiently get the fuck out of here. Like, just get the fuck out. Like a really active ward, which I like. I like it.
For sure.
Yeah. So, well, I want to talk about, being the only one of the stones that we've talked about that I own, I did lay down with it for a minute today, and just like I put it. So first I laid down and I had some chimes going, some Tibetan bowls or something. And I like it, just it wanted me to put it on my throat. So I put it on my throat first, and it felt really like warm and like it was like it was putting a shroud over my head almost. Which is weird, but awesome. And then I put it on my third eye, and it was just like, it was so energetic. I don't know. It just felt so alive. Like the stone felt alive. Like it was just like seeping into my little brain. It was awesome. I don't know. I really loved it. Yeah. It felt really good. Really, really good. And and warm. And then when I got up, I was completely warm, like head to toe warm.
Nice.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it does. It's a very energetic grounding. So you feel very clear and purposeful.
Yes.
But not in like a lethargic sort of sleepy, heavy kind of way.
Right. Right. Is there anything that you particularly like to do with it? Like besides, you know, like we've both scried with it and used it for protection, but is there like any certain like ritual or anything that you use it in? Or
I would love to get a blade and use it ceremonially to just sort of cut like the air, you know, and like symbolically cut things, like if I'm trying to cut stuff out of my life or wound my enemies or whatever. I really like that. I also have some other varieties of obsidian. I have quite a few pieces of snowflake obsidian, which is usually comes tumbled just because it's easier to see the snowflake patterns and stuff.
Right.
But it's kind of got a slightly gentler vibe to it. I mean, not significantly, but there is a little bit of that. And I definitely, when I meditate on it, get a scent of snow, you know, like that sort of like rain, snow, stone kind of smell.
Yeah.
So I definitely get that. And then I also have a very small crystal ball of the golden obsidian that has a very subtle, and it's difficult to see. You have to really get it at the right angle, that has like a little star, like a star sapphire or like a cat eye. And I have that on a specific altar as like an aniconic representation of Nephthys.
Nice.
Who is one of my patron goddesses. And I don't know. It was just such a show stopping piece. And I have just, you know, so many little bits and bobs and stones and chunks of crystal everywhere. But this one really has like, it's so arresting, you know, like it really draws you in and like you could just stare at it for hours. So to give it a very like sort of framed place of pride and sort of use it actively as like sort of a portal or sort of a waypoint that represents this like deeper force.
Yeah.
Really just seemed like the obvious choice. I mean, I have plenty of pieces that are amazingly beautiful and you could definitely like get into a vibe and work with them or whatever. But this one, I just like that small globe, I feel like
you work with the most probably.
Yeah. I just feel like, well, you can't help it. Like yeah. if you see it, you're just like, ooh, it has the vibes.
That's awesome. Ooh, sounds very cool. Well,
I think it was probably implied, but not mentioned. It's associated with the root chakra, like all these stones are. Yeah. And with the planet Saturn, you can also mix in Pluto as a later addition. It's also associated with Scorpio and November Sagittarius.
Oh, Scorpio makes sense. Nice. Yeah. Very cool. Well, we love our obsidian. But now it's time to talk about black tourmaline.
I also love black tourmaline.
I love it too.
It's great.
It is rad. So much to learn about black tourmaline. So the etymology of the word tourmaline, it was German, but also is a Sinhalese word, which Sinhalese people lived in Sri Lanka. Tourmaline. So that refers to the carnelian gemstones, or mixed colored stones is what the word actually means, which is true because tourmalines come in all kinds of colors. But black tourmaline is usually also called schorl, which I love that word, schorl. It's fun to say. Before the year 1400 AD, there was a village. It's today known as Schorlau. It was used to be called Schorl, and then this village had a tin mine, and they found a lot of black tourmaline there. So that's where the name Schorl comes from. So in English, Schorl and Schorl, which I thought was amazing because that was my mom's name, which is crazy. That was used in the 18th century, and then common Schorl, iron tourmaline. Also known as sodium iron tourmaline. It is black. It can be dark blue or dark green black, like dark bluish black or dark greenish black. And it is never transparent or even translucent. It is opaque, unlike other tourmalines. Tourmaline is a crystalline structure. So it's this particular tourmaline is formed in granite rock. It is formed in a pegmatite, which is igneous rock type of granite. They are voids deep under the ground that are filled with a rich hot liquid. It's rich in lots of different minerals, but then when it cools, it crystallizes and forms the tourmaline crystals. So it looks like when you look at it, it looks almost like if you were looking at black selenite, almost like it's got all these like, go ahead.
Yeah, it forms into these like long rods.
Yeah, really long rods, right?
And they're hexagonal.
Yes,
which is super interesting. Reminds me of the weird basalt columns that I saw in Iceland,
for
also
sure.
A volcanic rock. But yes. Yeah, and there's a lot you could say about the hexagon, just in terms of like other patterns in nature that are hexagonal and just like the number six and everything. But I mean, it just looks like somebody carved it that way, but it just
does.
Grows that way.
Right, right. It might, they think it might be the roof of the magma chamber, which is fucking rad. It can form in tiny, dense needles within quartz, which is known as tourmalined quartz.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like a regular clear quartz crystal, but then it's got these like jagged little like splinters of black tourmaline in it. It's
so fucking
rad.
Cool. It's a silicate. It's boron, and it's compounded with aluminum, iron, magnesium, sodium, lithium, or potassium. And it's pretty, I mean, not super hard, but 7.5. So So harder than jet for sure, onyx. So it's found kind of everywhere. So again, everywhere where volcanoes are, it is usually there. A whole bunch in Brazil. You can find it inside of granites, and it's like just in wherever there is like hydrothermal veins, metamorphic rocks, you're probably going to find black tourmaline. I have a really weird aside about a pink tourmaline, because that is the stone that I picked for my engagement ring, not really knowing fuck all about pink tourmaline. And come to find out, this was very popular with a empress in China, loved it, and it was mined in San Diego. Shut the fuck up.
Diego.
Isn't that crazy? Well, I mean, yeah. Just, I don't know. I thought it was weird. Just a weird coincidence. But that's the pink tourmaline. We're not talking about that today. But tourmalines in general come in like any color you can imagine. All over the, but the, okay. So here's the most baddest ass fact about black tourmaline. It can be electromagnetically charged.
I did not know this.
You know it now. Get ready. Are you ready to hear what is up? If you want to charge it, you just apply heat or friction to one end and you create a negative and a positive side.
That's insane. I didn't know that. I need to do that to the, because I have a chunk of it that's like one long like crystal.
Yeah.
That's probably, I don't know, like 8 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it a wand and zap people with it.
You have a lot of science experiments to get going on. You do. In feng shui, it's associated with creating a shield of energetic protection. Like jet, it also increases empathy for someone that's wearing it. So if you wanted to use it like practical use, check this out. In the 19th century, chemists would use it they would polarize light by shining rays onto a cut and polished surface of black tourmaline. How about that shit? And then the Dutch just used it to clean out their pipes. I don't know. That's what it said. I'm sure they like would make like maybe little brushes with it or something, just so they could get like maybe hard like caked on shit out of that. No, I mean, literal shit. Maybe. I don't know. That's crazy. I want to look into more of Dutch cleaning pipes with tourmaline stones. It's rad. But like you found out that it, tell me what about you found out. You found out that it has to do with like, it helps with possible dyslexia. That's cool.
Yeah. I don't
maybe
know.
Because the magnetism.
Yeah. So I've seen it reported helping with dyslexia, hand-eye coordination, tension, issues with the spine and immunity. The spine totally makes sense because like I said, it grows in these like very pointed, like rigid columns,
right?
These hexagonal columns, so that totally makes sense to me. I feel like maybe it's because it has this very rigid sort of one way, like two directions, almost like a fiber optic cable,
yeah,
kind of structure, that because it is electromagnetically conductive, that maybe that kind of by analogy, things that have to do with signals within your brain into other systems. So hand-eye coordination or dyslexia, like what is coming into your retinas and going through your language processing center, like things like that, where the connection is incomplete or not functioning as efficiently as it could have, like that sort of stuff. So that kind of checks out to me.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, I found that it, again, not a go-to real medicine doctor, but that it can improve circulation and like detoxing, bloating. And I thought it was interesting with it can help with your anxiety or obsessiveness. And that totally tracks to me because, you know, if it's electromagnetically charged, or has the ability to be electromagnetically charged, I mean, that could, I think, kind of like calm you. I don't know. It's taking it out of you and putting it into the stone. Like it's absorbing that anxiety. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. for like uses for witch times, I would use it for like aura cleansing. I think if you like are feeling weird or that you're just like not giving off great energy or whatever, I think this could help like neutralize that. And grounding, of course. I read that it can, you know, help with psychic protection. I have never really felt like I need psychic protection, but maybe, I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know. But that tracks.
Yeah, definitely. I think because we, as we've said, black stones tend to be protection and grounding. So definitely protection, but kind of more of like, it's almost like a filter or like, like a magnetic sweeper or something.
Yeah.
Because when I hold tourmaline, because of that crystalline structure that is so rigidly like just like on one axis of direction.
Right.
It feels like it's like sucking things down into the ground, like a vacuum. Ooh. Or like a fiber optic cable, or
like it's a conduit.
Yeah. Like, ooh, it just feels like it's, you know, like a lightning rod, like literally like in an electromagnetic way of grounding that, like energy that is on the loose and needs to go to its proper spot. It's like, it will like funnel it into the ground. Like, I just feel that like kind of feeling about it when I hold it. So that being one of its sort of metaphorical uses totally checks out. So definitely like protection and banishing and uncrossing, but kind of more transmuting things or detoxing things, dealing with fear or paranoia or things like that. And like I said, kind of like with the idea of like hand-eye coordination or dyslexia or things where connections within yourself, either different parts of your brain or
working
like
differently
sensory input overload or being able to articulate things or, you know, just any time that like any way that like energy or information is not flowing smoothly to the path that it needs to go, I think would be a good use for tourmaline. So really the protection and like negativity,
like
banishing
energy
element, it's really more about like getting your shit like
straight,
clean and humming and moving and like optimized. So
nice.
I mean, I think it's good for divination too. You know, it has, because it can be very lustrous and shiny, like obsidian, definitely good for scrying and things like that. I've read that you can use it to identify thieves and enemies.
That's awesome.
I've also read that, and I don't know where I found this, but that it's like a natural pesticide, which,
well,
I don't know.
Maybe
what
with
about
the magnetic properties. I mean, because I know, you know, you can buy those dumb little things that you plug into the wall that are supposed to send out like, you know, electromagnetic signals to the bugs to die. So maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sounds good. I read that it's useful for absorbing like your, you know, phone energy, like if you're on your phone too much or whatever and it's giving you like headache or whatever, hold some tourmaline and it'll absorb it.
Kind of by analogy, I've read that it's good for you know, like focus when you're studying things or like coded information or translation. So again, this idea of like converting information from one format to another, and to me that would also be helpful if you're doing divination in terms of trying to receive messages or receive visions or something. Like that
good
idea
call
of it being sort of almost like a modem or like a Wi-Fi transmitter or something, that it's basically allowing you to convert different types of energy into the format that you're trying to get to.
I love it.
Ooh. Yeah. So I just,
shit, like, I need to put some of that shit on my desk.
Yeah.
Help me with my job. It will help me understand what I am reading. That's awesome. Yeah. The, of course it's associated with the root chakra, Capricorn and Saturn. And also this chakra that I have heard of, but very little. I don't, again, don't know what where this actually comes from, but the Earth Star chakra that is apparently or possibly 6 inches below the bottom of your feet, which that sounds awesome. I've done some meditations that talk about the Earth Star chakra, but I don't know if that's like a new agey thing or if it is
a new agey thing, but as opposed to like an ancient Indian thing, but
right.
But I definitely, that checks out with tourmaline because it definitely does feel grounding in that sense of like I said, like a lightning rod of like mm-hmm. siphoning excess or not useful energy into the ground.
I like
that.
So
that idea of it like connecting you like a circuit to the ground totally makes sense. So the idea of you having some kind of energy port below your physical body that extends into the ground and if you've never sort of sensed that sort of energy space or whatever, I think getting a hold of some tourmaline would definitely help you sort of experience that.
Yeah.
It's basically sort of like, to me, I'm using like a lot of technological jargon, but I feel like that's very analogous to this stone of this idea of like kind of getting plugged in
right
to the ground or something, you know?
I love it. Well, it's a totally different kind of grounding energy because that's not to me, that's not the same as the feeling that you get with, say, like onyx or, you know, it's again, to me, it's active like obsidian.
But it's like actively like sucking downwards. Like,
yeah.
Because like onyx is like restful. It's like kind of enveloping you. There's a heaviness in a sort of swaddling, comforting way.
Right.
But there's a stillness and a patience to it. Whereas tourmaline is not more like that. Yeah. Do you need to get down deep either with yourself or put some stuff there or whatever? Like,
Or like, do you
but
need
it's a
this
two-way
to
connection.
Like, yeah. Like, do you I need get this to flow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely get the sense of sort of like energy or information or vibes like traveling both directions. I said fiber optic cable before, but like that really speaks to me of this idea of like things being able to pass both directions in a very efficient, condensed way.
Well, and then the easy way that, I mean, you can tell these two apart from just their shape. I mean, obsidian is going to look like it was, you know, napped off of a stone. So there'll be lots of different kind of, you know, shapes and ridges, but very smooth shapes. Tourmaline's looks like a crystal. I mean,
yes.
So you can tell by their shape. Anything
and it doesn't have that glassy I mean it's got a very smooth surface, but it's not like glass where it just feels like this uniform edge. Like even polished tourmaline still kind of has a little bit of like a graininess to it, I would say.
So
even if you're dealing with something that's not the raw crystal, I feel like the texture of it's slightly different.
You could tell it apart from,
and it's a little denser, it feels a little heavier.
I don't know. I definitely want to work with these more. And you'd think that I'd just have like, you know, goth rocks laying all over the house. And now I want to, but I think it's just been one of those things where like, even as a layperson or when I was younger and super like really, really like doing a lot with crystals and gems and stones and stuff, I never really gravitated toward the black ones, really, except for protection and warding and stuff, but not to like work with. And now I'm just like, that's all I want to work with. What are you talking about? So yeah, I think I can't wait to like try some stuff out and then come and report back. And I'll also find out more about the Dutch cleaning their pipes. I really need to know more about that. But man,
I have
this
a weird note about tourmaline.
Oh, go.
I wrote that it felt light in my palm, but heavy in my hand.
Oh, okay. I don't understand.
Like I don't know either. I'm not, but that when I was holding it in my palm, like it just felt like, I don't know, like energetic and light, but okay. that the overall, like, it's like being in an elevator, maybe, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like you have a sense of going down.
Right.
But not that you are being pulled.
Okay.
So like, I don't, yeah, kind of like that. Like it felt light in my hand, but then like I still felt this pull of gravity.
So it's that whole being a conduit almost. That's so yeah. cool. Oh, that's
I would love to play around with some tourmaline points and some selenite.
Oh yeah,
because I feel like they're very analogous, but selenite, I mean, by the name, duh, it's got this very lunar celestial vibe.
Yes,
and I feel like it's the opposite, where it's like a up.
Yeah,
it's like this very like starry sky celestial energy.
Mm-hmm.
And tourmaline's the opposite, it's like, but like down,
sucking it down. That would be really cool to have both of those like in front of you, and yeah
oh. or like lay down and have like one at your head and one at your feet or something.
Let's do it.
But when I make crystal grids and stuff, I like to put small points, because I got like a little string of chunky like raw beads.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically just like little quarter inch or half inch pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That have a hole drilled through them, but I don't really use them for that. But I just right. got like a string of them, so I have like a few dozen.
Oh, wow.
And like I'll set them out as like a perimeter.
Mm.
I sunk ones in the corner of all four corners of my property.
Nice.
Upright, and that also feels really good.
Yeah.
Just like taking an upright piece mm-hmm. and smushing it down into the ground. Like
yeah.
there's something so cathartic and like definitive, and being like, this is my space, don't fuck around. Like,
well, right, and true. And it's drawing what yeah. you know from above and just sending it straight down to the earth. So that is rad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so many uses. So cool. Well, I mean, I think we've talked about a lot of cool shit to do. I really think that not only I'm gonna do some shit, but I hope the rest of you go out and get some of these goth rocks and kind of work them into your practice, because they are fucking fun to work with.
And yeah.
can really, and
I mean,
can help you. Yeah. I mean, I think can really help.
And also, I mean, I don't want to, you know, be espousing precious gemstones that are like some sort of like elitist, like high oh. entry point to acquire.
Yeah, no.
Because one, you can go to like a crystal shop and just touch all the rocks for free.
Yep.
You can
absolutely, that's for sure.
Do
that. That's right.
Also, you can look at getting, like I said, like you can get like a string of beads or something,
right,
of raw crystals, and you can just have them to do stuff with. Like I got a little string of onyx beads from fucking Michael's or someplace.
Right.
So now I have like a, you know, like a handful of these like little chips that I can do stuff with, like throw down like a little crystal grid, or like put them in a little sachet for somebody as like a protection talisman, or, you know, string them as like a mallet like necklace or something. And
right.
So you can find, you don't need like some beautiful polished,
no.
ginormous.
You don't need to buy Whidbey Jet, right? Yeah. No, you can just go to a rock shop, touch all the rocks.
Just touch all the rocks.
Touch all the rocks. That's our basic. That's our sign off today. Touch all the rocks, bitches. No, it's really not. This has been awesome. This was so fun.
I learned so much.
I did too. I can't wait to work with more rocks. All right. Well, until next time.
Hocus pocus, bitches.